Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. We want to be sure to thank Don Richmond for the music you're hearing and Daniel Boyce for the bird songs that you're hearing. Your host today, Marty Jones, and I'm joined by Brian Pucciarella and John Reeser to talk about this weekend's Rio Trio Adventure Race. Brian works for San Luis Valley Greta Outdoors. He's the Generation Wild Program Coordinator. And John works for the City of Alamosa as the Outdoor Recreation Supervisor and Grants Coordinator. Welcome, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks, Marty. Glad to be here.
Excellent. So let's jump in and talk about the Rio Trio. It's a happening event.
It is, yeah. We have a lot of people signed up this year. Kind of an overwhelming almost amount of people signed up, but it's great. We have about 180 people signed up for the event so far and expect to get a handful more through the end of this week.
So what is the cutoff date for registration for the event?
Folks can register up until this Friday, May 26th at 4 p.m. Price goes up on Friday, so if you are interested in joining in, I'd recommend doing that before Friday.
And before I forget, how can they sign up?
Head over to rioraces.com. It's a website that we have set up for both the Rio Frio 5K on ice as well as the Rio Trio Adventure Triathlon.
Cool. And once they do that, they can just navigate to the appropriate spot and sign in.
Yeah, it should be fairly self-explanatory.
Okay, very good. So 180 people, do you have a sense that this event, this adventure triathlon, has competitions for solo, for teams of three, and there's a kids race also, isn't there? So
that's right.
Do you have a sense of how many are signed up for the solo, doing all three legs themselves?
Yeah, John can probably give us a better estimate, but it's usually split pretty well. We're probably looking at like a third solo male, third solo female, and a third teams typically. And then we're looking at probably like 15 in the kids race so far. So like you said, 180, but we're hoping to hit 200 this year. That's the goal.
200 is pretty big. How many have there been? This is what the... Third year.
So the first year we had about 110. Last year we ended up with about 140. So if we can get to 200, that would represent quite a bit of growth.
Well, even 180 is a pretty significant growth, but 200. So if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't decided what to do for Saturday, May 27th, there's still time. Go to rioraces.com. Sign up for the Rio Trio Adventure Triathlon. What's the course going to be like this year? Things are different this year than they have been the previous two.
Yeah, maybe I'll speak first to some of the changes we made or made the decisions on right after last year's race, and then John can talk about the reroutes that are happening. But some of the feedback we've gotten over previous years is just by the time people are running, it's really hot out. So based on everyone's feedback and requests, we have moved running first. So running, kind of the hardest part traditionally, will go first now. And then when it's a little bit hotter, you know, you'll have that breeze from riding a bike and then be on the water, of course, which is nice. So it'll be run and then paddle. And then bikes last.
Yeah.
And is the time or is the date earlier than it has been also?
Yeah, this is kind of a funny little thing that happened, but normally we're fighting for water, right? So it's normally the first weekend of June, or at least the last 2 years it has been, which has been great weather-wise. But with the low water years we've had, that weekend in June, there's just no water left in town. So we tried to move it forward 2 weeks so we could catch the runoff, which this year, it turns out, we didn't need to do that. Yeah, there's quite a lot of water in the river right now.
But you know, this is still a good time because being over the Memorial Day weekend, people can come down, do the Rio Trio. They can go out to the Great Sand Dunes. They have an extra day for Memorial Day. They can make it a longer vacation trip down to Alamosa.
Yeah. Timing a race like this is really difficult for weather, for runoff in the river. And Memorial Day, we've been getting some feedback from locals that it's like, oh, it's not great because we're traveling, or it's not great because there's high school graduation Saturday. But it's hard to make everyone cater to everyone's needs. But the numbers are showing that people are coming out in droves. So, I think it's a good date. Just like to speak to the flows in the river. The last couple of years, Brian and I have been really stressing out about the flows, and we've pulled it off. And we've had just barely enough water in the river, but last year at this time, about a week before the race, I think we had, like, to give you an idea of how much water there is now, we had, I think, 70, 60 CFS in the river, cubic feet per second, leading up to the race, a couple of days before the race. This year we have over 1100, like today, I believe.
So yeah, it's actually 1320 in Alamosa.
Yep. There you go. So that's like 20 times the amount of water that's in the river. So it's going to be a lot quicker on the river this year, which I think participants should really enjoy. I mean, it's still just flat water. It's not like it's rapids and it's going to be super dangerous. It'll be fun. We used to tell our participants, if you fall out of your boat, just stand up and you'll be fine.
I wouldn't recommend that this year.
This year, they're going to be probably in over their heads if they fall off. So,
yeah, you're going to have to swim this year.
Is there any requirement that the participants, when they're doing the paddle portion, have a PFD?
Yeah, that's a race requirement. They don't have to just have the life jacket in the boat. They have to be wearing it. And we're going to be checking for proper fit of the PFD before they get in the water.
Good. Yeah, I know that in years past, the paddle portion was always the slowest portion, which was great from a spectator's point of view because you could actually see them coming from a long distance away and watch them for quite a while. It's going to be a little different this year.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's going to be great.
Here's perhaps an odd question. What is the most, what are the usual watercraft that are used during the paddle portion?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we do rent paddle crafts. So probably the most common option is just the two different options that we rent, which is stand-up paddle boards and sit-on-top kayaks. Both of those work super well in the river here. A lot of people just have kind of Walmart kayaks that they picked up for $50-$100 that work super well on the flat water here. And then there's the occasional whitewater boat that you see out there too, which works well.
So in years past, not as a part of the Rio Trio, I've seen some pretty unusual watercraft on the Rio Grande. And I'm wondering, what's the most unusual watercraft that you've seen as a part of the Rio Trio?
I haven't seen anything too unusual. One thing I've seen is people sitting on a stand-up paddleboard with a kayak paddle. That actually seems to work pretty well because standing and paddling is kind of tricky if you're not super experienced with it.
My physical therapist actually borrowed a kayak paddle so she could do just that.
Nice.
It's a good move.
Yeah, but no inflatable crocodiles or party boats or anything of that sort.
Last year, there was a group of people tubing on the river during the race, which was great. but I don't think we've seen any tubers in the adult race.
Yeah, we might have to create an award category for the most unique boat next year.
There you go. Yeah, because then you don't have to worry about necessarily how fast you finish, how unusual your boat is.
Well, Safeway right now has some like inflatable flamingos and stuff like that. So if anyone still needs a boat, That would be a pretty cool option.
Sounds good. Well, what changes have been made to the bicycling and running portions of the course?
Yeah, so because the river has come up so much this year, this spring, we've rerouted the cycling and, yeah, just the cycling portion away from the Rio Grande Inspire Trail. So that's a nice little single track trail that is in the floodplain of the river, and on the dry year it stays dry, but this year it's completely underwater. So the cycling course kind of goes up through the disc golf course, north of the boat ramp, and then on the Simpson Loop, and then it kind of cuts down North River Road over to Splashland, down Highway 17 on that multi-use path, and then kind of around the Rio Grande Farm Park, and then around Blanca Vista Pond. So,
on the path around Blanca Vista Pond?
Yeah.
You realize that's underwater.
I do. Yeah, the east side of the pond is underwater. So they're going to be on the diagonal levee trail
and then
drop down onto that crusher fine trail around the pond to the north of the pond. And back around that way.
Okay, good.
But I think it's going to be fine. It'll be kind of a nice change for people that have done it the first 2 years and have done the same trails. It's kind of a new look at our trail system. And previous years, we used to do a lap around the golf course on the bike. So there's not going to be any lapping of the same trail. It's going to be all unique trail as you go through the course.
Oh, that's good. And what about the running course?
So the running course will start also at the State Avenue boat ramp and head north. It'll take the same route as the cyclists and head up north to the boat ramp to the north.
Yeah. And then one thing new this year, if you're on a team, so if you're the runner and you're going to the boat ramp, you will now be able to just catch a shuttle back. So previously, like for individual racers, you had to leave your bike there. And then at some point you had to like leave the party and then go get your bike. So now like all the equipment will just be
at one spot.
Yeah, the State Street Bridge, which is nice. And then we'll just shuttle the runners back, and then everyone gets to hang out at State Street Bridge.
So cool. So what time does the event actually begin?
The race starts, the main race starts at 9:30 a.m. And the kids race is going to be at 12:30 p.m. Starting around 11 o'clock, you'll be able to get food from the San Luis Valley Food Company. They're bringing their food truck and making loaded potato fries with local russet potatoes. So there's a food truck. We're going to have some live music starting around 11 as well. The Moon Shadow Marauders.
Oh yeah.
Are going to be playing
with Jenny Mansfield Peel on accordion. Yeah. Cool.
There'll be some booths set up. There'll be beer from Spare Keg Brew Works. And one thing that's an addition this year that's going to be a lot of fun. If you've seen our main poster event, GoCo's Generation Wild spokes creature. His name is Wilder. He's this 7 foot tall, half Yeti, half mountain goat, basically a mascot. He's going to be there at the beginning of the race and then again at the kids' race. Yeah. So that should be a lot of fun to come out with the kids and experience that.
Yeah, Brian, you have experience with Wilder, don't you?
Yeah, John and I both got to meet Wilder over the winter in Denver. Yeah, he's pretty incredible. He's like 8 feet tall.
Big.
Really cool.
Big creature. Big spokes creature.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Well, what other tips do you have for entrance to this event?
Brian, maybe you can talk about the choice of bicycle for this event.
Yeah, definitely. So we advertise this as a mountain bike ride, and we get a lot of questions about what bikes would be best on it. And probably the fastest option would actually be a gravel bike. So anyone who's done it in the past probably recognizes this now, that there's not a lot of single track, but there's definitely a lot of kind of flat, not quite paved, but hard pack dirt sections. Especially this year, there's going to be more of that, even though we're not on the road. So I think like a gravel bike, something with a little bit of tread, but not like an over aggressive mountain bike will be fastest.
Yeah. And we will be on some asphalt. So
on North River Road.
On North River Road, yeah. And then also that asphalt paved path along Highway 17. So basically enough tire to get through some of the looser single track, but the majority of the race is going to be hard packed or asphalt. So gravel bike would be the sweet spot.
Yeah. So at least maybe 33 millimeters wide.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be great.
Yeah. Nothing like a typical road bike with 23 or 25.
No, you would definitely struggle on a road bike. Yeah, that's for sure. We've seen fat bikes out there that works well. It's obviously not a fast bike, but that would be fine. Any kind of mountain bike would work well.
Yeah, good. And I am curious about the water portion, the paddling portion. Walking around in the riparian park and riding the levee between State Bridge and up to the North Pavilion. There's some pretty wide parts to the river that if you're not very familiar with it, you might get off track a little bit, get out of the main channel. Any recommendations for how they can ensure that they stay through the main channel?
Yeah, typically you want to be on the outside of the turn. So as the river's winding, the outside corner or the outside of the corner will be the fastest line. We call that the cut bank in the river world. And that's where the river is moving fastest along that outside bank. The inside bank, what we call the wash bank, is where the water is flowing over all the willows and the trees and everything, kind of washing up debris. So we call that the wash bank. And that's really where it's really wide right now in the river. So the fast line for all the listeners is going to be the outside of the corners.
All right, so you have tips from the experts here. No excuses for getting lost in the willows.
If you do get lost in the willows, it's an adventure race, so just consider it part of the adventure.
Yeah, that's great. All right, so the Rio Trio is this Saturday, May 27th. Is check-in starting at like 7:30, 8:30?
We have
the event starts at 9:30, you said.
Yeah, that's right. The night before, Friday, May 26th, we have check-in or packet pickup from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Spare Peg Brew Works. So that's their location downtown Alamo. So you can get your race bib, your ankle timing chip, your t-shirt, and all that. So I encourage people to get there Friday and get that squared away. But we do have an option Saturday morning as well from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. over at the State Avenue River Access. So yeah, just need to be there before 9 a.m. The other time constraint is that they need participants who are boating need to get their boats up to the North River Pavilion before 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. So they can be there dropping off their boats anytime between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m.
Will there be somebody at the North River Pavilion to make sure the boats don't get tampered with?
Yeah, we'll have volunteers up there and some park staff too to help. So, yep, we'll make sure that they're secure.
Okay, very good. All right, the Rio Trio Adventure Triathlon, Saturday, May 27th. Get there before 9 o'clock, preferably Friday evening at the Spare Keg Brew Works in downtown Alamosa to pick up your packet. And may the best person and team and child win. So we've been talking with Brian Pucciarella from SLV Go, the Generation Wild Program Coordinator, John Reeser, the City of Alamosa Outdoor Recreation Supervisor and Grants Coordinator, about the Rio Trio. Any final words or maybe additional mention of the website?
Yeah, so head on over to rioraces.com to sign up. We do have a couple more volunteer slots to fill. It takes almost 40 volunteers to pull off this event. But thankfully, we're up to like 35, 36. So Really, I want to thank everyone who signed up for that. I guess while we're thanking people, this would maybe be a good time to thank our corporate sponsors for the event.
Sure.
So the event is hosted by the City of Alamosa and San Luis Valley Great Outdoors. We had a lot of corporate sponsors that help us put this event together. It helps it keep the event, keep it affordable for locals, and helps us just pull off an awesome event. So I'd like to thank our top sponsors, Valleywide Health Systems, as well as the San Luis Valley Water Conservancy District. We also had Adams State University, Spare Keg Brewworks, Great Outdoors Colorado, Ski Balls Running World, the Alamosa Citizen, High Peak Event Company, San Luis Valley Health, Rio Grande Basin Roundtable, REC Cielo, First Southwest Bank, Southwest River Engineering, Connect for Health Colorado, San Luis Valley Federal Bank, and that's all. Thank you so much for the support of our race.
Great. Thank you guys for coming in, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Thanks, Marty. And thanks Marty, for volunteering, Marty.
Sure. We'll be right back after this brief message. This is the Outdoor Citizen.
Alamosa Volunteer Search and Rescue is an all-volunteer nonprofit team that operates in Alamosa County, primarily on the Blanca Massif in the Sangre de Cristo Range. Some of these peaks require more technical expertise than others, and there is little room for error. Make sure you know your abilities. Before you go out to explore the wonders of the Alpine, be sure you tell someone of your planned route and have an agreed-upon time to check in with someone back home so they can call 911 if something has gone wrong. Have the 10 essentials in your pack and always check the forecast. Knowledge weighs nothing, and this is the most important thing you can take with you. ABSAR is honored to serve our community and those who visit. Learn more by visiting our website at www.avsar.us.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen. We're going to give you some upcoming outdoor events. Remember, the Valley Calendar is the most comprehensive listing of events from across the San Luis Valley. Be sure to check it out and stay up to date at alamosacitizen.com. From May 26th through the 28th, the San Luis Valley Bike Tour is a three-day bicycle tour around the San Luis Valley on dirt and paved roads. There will be two nights of camping and a support vehicle to follow with water and snacks. Reach out to Grantley Showalter at alamosabicyclecoalition@gmail.com if you'd like to ride along. And as we've been talking about earlier in the program, May 27th is the third annual Valley Bottom Rio Trio Adventure Triathlon. You can sign up to volunteer or to register at rioraces.com. On May 29th is the Sangre de Cristo Heritage Area Youth Walking Tour. On the 29th, the Heritage Area is organizing youth walks of the Hooper Mosca Historical Area and the Lafayette Head House in Conejos. You can find more information at alamosacitizen.com. On June 2nd is a Youth Fishing Day organized by Colorado Parks and Wildlife, the City of Alamosa Parks and Recreation, and SLV Great Outdoors. The event is for ages 8 to 15, and it will be held at Blanca Vista Park in Alamosa from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Parents and guardians must register their children before 8:30 a.m. All right, some outdoor conditions.
Hey, Marty, this is Owen with my outdoor report for May 23rd. It's kind of hazy today around the valley. Some clouds to the west and the east look like they might bring some rain. But this haze, it's all coming from the Alberta wildfires. All the smoke is coming down this way. So, say, if you have a problem with smoke in the air, you may want to stay inside. But other than that, it's a beautiful day on State Avenue. Just walked along the river where the river is looking mighty, mighty high. The mighty Rio Grande never disappoints. I will talk to you later. See ya.
As the days get longer and warmer, we'd love to hear from you. record an audio file on your smartphone and send it to us. We would enjoy seeing a photograph also. You can email info@alamosacitizen.com or text the audio file and photo to 720-891-6759 with your name for credit. That way you become an outdoor field correspondent. Now we have some conditions and measurements for you to keep you up to date on what it's looking like out in our region. The Upper Rio Grande might put that site for sore eyes water level into perspective. The gauge at Del Norte currently is reading 4,850 CFS. In Monte Vista, 2,350 CFS. And Alamosa, the flow is 1,320 CFS. The USDA is reporting 4.6 inches of equivalent snow water in the Upper Rio Grande. And further south, the Conejos River at Magoti is reading 1,420 CFS. We still have snow in the mountains, and that means there's still some avalanche danger, so that you should be on the lookout. Avalanche danger is low across the state, according to the Colorado Avalanche Information Center. The CAIC says avalanche conditions are generally safe, but you still need to monitor the snow. Safe travel requires a supportable snowpack with firm underlying crusts. The best test is to stand on the snow in your boots. If you sink into loose, unfrozen snow deeper than your ankles, avoid traveling across steep slopes. Move to shadier, more supportable slopes, or just call it a day. Start your day early and end early to reduce your risk of avalanches. Afternoon thunderstorms can produce rain in isolated areas. If you experience heavy rain, especially above treeline, plan a safe exit that avoids steep slopes. Avoid traveling under large, sagging cornices, as falling cornices result in a few large avalanches on steeper slopes. Colorado backcountry avalanche conditions are updated every evening at 4:30 p.m. For the full forecast details and more, go to avalanche.state.co.us. Now for some other outdoor news. Alamosa Mosquito Control has started its annual operations to address summer adult mosquito populations. Workers have begun treating any drop of water they come across with larvicide to help reduce the mosquito population. Evening spraying will begin around the 1st of June. Parts of Alberta, Canada are experiencing intense wildfires. The smoke from these fires has made its way quite a ways south, creating the haze we've seen over the SLV the past few days. This has prompted an air quality warning for many of the Rocky Mountain states. Currently, there is an air quality alert for parts of Colorado, but the smoke is continuing to billow around the valley. With poor air quality, people most at risk are advised to avoid being among the smog for too long. The quality of air is expected to increase with incoming rain. A flood watch was issued for most of Conejos County on Monday. According to the Conejos County Sheriff Garth Crowther, some areas are already experiencing flooding. Heavy snowmelt has put low-lying areas underwater. He said the conditions may deteriorate over the next several days. Conejos County Road and Bridge Supervisor Donnie Martinez said there are numerous road closures around the county right now. They would like to remind the public to be aware of and be prepared for voluntary evacuations if necessary. They also advise that people living in areas that are in danger of flooding or have medical conditions to prepare an emergency go bag containing medication, money, and important documents. That ends this episode of The Outdoor Citizen. Join us next time when we will talk to SLV Go's Great Outdoors Action Team crew lead, Logan Helmstead. We'll also have Patrick Ortiz and DJ Salazar on to discuss a fishing event happening on June 14th for veterans and the community at Monte Vista's home lake. Until then, thanks for listening and enjoy the outdoors.